We come now to our text, single verse, as we make our way through the Lord's Prayer. We come now to verse 11, Matthew 6, verse 11. This is God's word. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray that He'd teach us this morning. Almighty God, we look to You now. Not simply for our daily bread, but for You to give us this bread of life, that we may have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to believe in the one whom You've sent, our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us of Him, we pray this morning, in His name. Amen. So our culture is confused and troubled by the idea of dependence. On the one hand, we exalt and admire those who help others, on whom others depend. First responders, police, firefighters. You know, when you need someone to come help you, those are often the people you call. And we love those people. We exalt those people. We give those people praise that is well-deserved. But on the other hand, we are very uncomfortable with this idea of dependence. From the earliest of age, we learn how to say, I want to do it myself. And we just grow into that. We call unhealthy attachments codependence. And we don't like to have to rely on anyone. We like to make our own way. But for the Christian, dependence is a sweet grace. But not just any dependence. The reason we have this confusion about dependence is because there's good dependence and bad dependence. It matters upon whom you depend. It matters when you depend upon them. There is such a thing as unhealthy dependence, but for the Christian, dependence on God is a sweet and indispensable grace. And in this portion of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that we must learn to depend on the Lord constantly for all our needs. We must learn to depend on the Lord constantly for all our needs. And we see this in three ways. We see that we must depend on the Lord. It's reflected in these words, give us. We see that we must depend on the Lord constantly. That's reflected in the words, this day. And we see that we must depend on the Lord constantly for all our needs, as is reflected in these words, daily bread. And we're going to look at all of these words this morning. And so I want you to see, first of all, in these words, give us, that Jesus is teaching us we must depend on the Lord. That's a hard thing for us, because it is so easy in our world, and especially in our culture, to think that we deserve the things that we have. We work hard. And hard work very often produces the fruit of that labor. And we begin to think that we have made this, we have done this, we have accomplished this, we have earned this. There's a lot of talk around the world, in our country no less, of rights, that we have these rights that we deserve. Sometimes we even look out there at what others have and think it's our right to have that too. We deserve that thing, and it should be ours. And there's something to be said for this. The Bible speaks a lot about hard work. the fruit of our labors. And we shouldn't downplay that at all, but that's not the subject that we're looking at this morning. Because we're looking at this idea of dependence as an acknowledgement that you are one accident, one illness, one stock market crash, one tragedy from having everything you have dissolve into nothing. There is a sense in which it doesn't matter how hard you work. You could have put in 35 years at the shipyard, and if there is a defense budget cut, suddenly everybody's head's on the chopping block. If you're a farmer, our parents both grew up in farming communities, you are one drought. Just one drought away from disaster. And it doesn't matter how much you saved up. It doesn't matter. Like, you're 1 year, 2 years of drought away from disaster. We saw this in the Dust Bowl, right? Whole swaths of our nation were just left with nothing. And when we start to think that we can make our own way, that we can do it ourselves, that we have earned these things, that we have rights, that we have earned all these things that we hold so tightly to, we forget the source of all true blessing. We forget what even our framers acknowledged, that we have these rights endowed upon us by our Creator, not just rights that come out of the ether or rights that we concoct in our own heads. There is one who made all things, who owns all things, who controls all things, who sustains all things. And if we are to receive anything, it's ultimately from His hand. God is the source of all true blessing. And we can't presume upon our labor. We can't presume because we work really hard that we will be successful. This is what the author of Ecclesiastes discovered and what we looked at some months ago. You can work very hard and have nothing but thorns and thistles to show for it because we live in a broken world where the ground is cursed. And it's through the sweat of our brow that we will work hard and not produce the abundance of fruitfulness that we hope. We've seen disaster strike, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, landslides. And it dissolves everything that people have. And when we forget that it is the Lord God of all that is the source of all blessing, we forget to look to Him, to bless the fruit of our hands, to provide for us. We forget to depend on Him. But Jesus tells us that when we pray, whenever you pray, at all times when you're praying, pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. There is in this prayer a humble petition. The self-sufficient, the independent person doesn't look for anyone to provide for them. They make their own way. They hold tight to that childhood cry, I can do this myself. And when disaster strikes, often they're left with no support, no encouragement, nothing to cling to, and so they just pull themselves up by their bootstraps. We have all sorts of cliches to describe this way of thinking. So ingrained into us is it. It's a cliche. This idea of independence. But there is in this prayer a humble petition. that looks to the Lord as the great and ultimate provider, that knows that, true blessing isn't something we can manufacture, but comes from Him. There is utter dependence in this prayer. And a thankful receiving. I mean, how often do we stop and say, Lord, thank you for blessing my work such that it produced what I hoped it would? It's much easier to say, wow, I worked really hard for that. Praise me. Everybody, look at what I've done. See the blue ribbon and the gold star affixed to my chest. And we forget to thank the Lord for everything and thank Him specifically. Oh, we will pray thankful prayers, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank, but sometimes we fail to turn our eyes to all the things that He does indeed provide and give Him particular thanks for the particular blessings He's poured out upon us. And when we fail to do that, we don't walk the path of humble petition. We don't walk the path of humble dependence on the Lord. We walk the path of arrogance and self-sufficiency. And that's a dangerous path to walk. In fact, in these words, give us, is not some sort of theology of let go and let God. You will not see Jesus in His teaching on the Sermon on the Mount say, just sit down, do nothing, and wait for God to give you all the stuff you need. We saw even in the story of Elijah, God says, go here, and Elijah went there. God said, I will provide for you here, and he went there, and then I will provide for you here, and he went there. There was a response on Elijah's part. There was something for Elijah to do to manifest his faith in the Lord. And God works through means all the time. God has given us work. Before sin entered this world, there was work to be done. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden and said, cultivate this garden. Indeed, the intent was for it to spread over the whole world. There is indeed work to be done. God says, I will hear and answer the prayers of my people. And so Jesus teaches us to pray and pray rightly. There is something for us to do, a response in faith for us to perform. He says, I will bless the reading of my word. The word of God does not go out and return void. It always accomplishes whatever it is intended to accomplish from the hand of our Father. There is in this prayer a commitment to the diligent use of the means God has given us. There is not a self-centered, selfish, I'm going to sit around and do nothing until God provides all the things that I want. There is faith and dependence manifest in this prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Well, how has the Lord said He will give us these things? Read the book of Proverbs. Hear even the words of Jesus. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. Know how the Lord provides for the sparrow. Know how He provides for the field. But the sparrows don't just sit on the branch and chirp, waiting for seeds to fall from heaven. God provides for them, and they fly hither and yon and collect the things that He gives. There is in this prayer a commitment to follow the very things God has given us. The source of blessing is God Himself, but He has given us all sorts of means to take hold of who He is, to work out our faith in fear and trembling, and to see Him respond with abundance. And so we see in Scripture all sorts of commands and admonitions. Let us not forsake the gathering together of God's people. Worship the Lord and Him only. And He blesses those things. Even our work. And if He doesn't bless our work, we are to be pitied above all because the earth is, the ground, the dust of the earth is cursed. Our work has never promised to produce a whole lot but thorns and thistles. And it's a blessing anytime it produces an abundance. And it's a blessing from God. So there is in this prayer not a selfish, self-centered, self-satisfied waiting on God to get with it and provide for us like he's some sort of divine vending machine. There is faith at work in this prayer to hear God, to depend on God, to listen to God, to respond to God with all the means he's given us. And so there is freedom here in all of our vocations, in whatever work God has called you to. There is, even in these words, give us a freedom to work hard and know that God will provide. In other words, there is in this prayer an understanding of stewardship. It flows from everything we've already looked at. Our Father in heaven, he is the source of all life and all holiness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is about his kingdom, his rule spreading to cover the whole earth. And there is in this prayer a response to that, to a response to who he is. Then, O great Father in heaven, O great King of the universe, give us what we need to serve you aright. There is in this prayer an understanding of that we are stewards. Everything that we have, it's not ours, it's God's. And he calls us to use whatever it is he's given us to bring him glory, to honor him, to enjoy the blessings of his hand for his glory. We must depend on the Lord. But not just in the big moments, not just when things seem to be really stressful or really disastrous. We are to depend on the Lord constantly. Jesus tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There is a temptation always operative in the human heart to pray for full and complete satisfaction. For all time. Lord, I just need rest. I just need enough so that I can rest. But the danger is that we pray for comfort and not for contentment. That what we really want is to have all our needs and all our wants satisfied so that there is no longing, there is no desire, there is no unsettledness in us. But that is the most dangerous place to be. When you have no want, no longing, no unsettled feeling in you at all, where then is your thirst for righteousness? Where then is your hunger for the kingdom of God? Where is the acknowledgement that this is not our home, but God has made us citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we are sojourners in this place until it is made new and restored, and we live with God? Oh, it is a great judgment to be so fully satisfied that there is no longing in you at all. For God has left you content with things that will pass away and will be burned with fire. No, in this prayer, give us this day, there's no room for some indefinite satisfaction. Jesus calls us to make this a part of our daily routine, our daily understanding, our daily acknowledgement that we need God, not just for this season of life, but every moment of every day in everything. And so while we are wise to make plans, to set aside, to budget well, we ought to, as James reminds us, hold those plans loosely If it's the Lord's will, we will go here tomorrow and do these things. If it's the Lord's will, we will accomplish these things, because none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. And so we look every day to the Lord to provide. Every day we lean on Him. Every day we seek His wisdom for today. Lord, what would you have me do today to steward the things you have given me? Lord, what would you have me learn today about who you are and how glorious you are? Lord, what would you have me do today to serve your kingdom and see your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven? And so Jesus gives us this admonition not to pray every once in a while for the things we need, but every day. And as we do this, this dependence on the Lord becomes more than a thing we check off the list. I'm going to ask the Lord for the things that I need today. It becomes more than sort of that routine that surrounds mealtime, where we memorize the God is great and God is good sort of prayers to say, okay, we have given Him thanks for these things. There's more here. This becomes a disposition. This becomes a walk. This becomes who we are. We are those who depend on the Lord. You see this in Elijah's story. It's incredible. Like Elijah, this great prophet, goes to the king of Israel and says, no more rain until I say. And God sends him to this brook that dries up. I mean, he's fed by the ravens, bread and meat. Hygienically, I'm sure. And then even that dries up. And so he goes to this widow's house, a widow who has nothing, who's getting ready to make her last meal so that she and her son can die together. And God provides even there, miraculously, at every step. And then this child dies. I mean, if you're reading this story sort of from Elijah's perspective, it's like, Lord, are you going to provide or not? And the answer is yes. At every step, He has provided. Not always in the way we planned, not always in the way we wanted, not always with the abundance we'd hoped, but at every step of the way He provides, because even as Elijah learns, even as the widow learns, even as we ought to learn, our God is not just the giver of good things. He is the source of all life. And if we would have life, true life, we can't live it apart from Him. We are dependent on Him. Jesus, in this admonition, calls us to live as those who see that and know that and believe that our God is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do. But in that, we pray not just as a disposition, but we pray for something very particular. We learn to depend on the Lord constantly for what we need. We see this in these words, daily bread. There's some confusion about what the word daily means. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament. Does it mean for today? Does it mean for the day that's coming? The sense of the word is the same. Whatever I need immediately, whatever is right here on the horizon, Lord, provide for that. And in that sense, the word bread here isn't to be limited to just food. This includes anything that we need. Whatever God's people may need, food, shelter, clothing, peace, forgiveness, whatever it is they may need, is included in this prayer. But that's where the problem lies, isn't it? What do we need? What is a need? I remember in elementary school social studies, they had a whole section on this every year, like distinguishing between needs and wants, right? You remember that? And the needs that we have are food, clothing, and shelter, and internet. And everything else is what, I mean, I remember doing budgets, and I remember there was this point in time when I transitioned from, well, I don't really need a landline. You know, you have children, you need a landline. So the babysitter has a way to call 911 if there's a problem. You need this. I remember this moment where I transitioned from thinking about a landline as a need to an internet connection as a need. And it struck me funny. Do I really need an internet connection? I go to the library. I mean, it's slower. You probably won't get an email response from me for a couple days. I know people, though, who live this way, and they are happy people. They just go to the library and check their email about once a week, and they don't live with the worry or the burden of paying Verizon or Cox or whoever it is to connect them to the world. Do we know how to distinguish between a need and a want? God overflows with blessing to his people. And this isn't about being rich or poor. I need you to understand this. God has had filthy rich people call on his name. One of them was named Abraham. He had more wealth than you or I could possibly imagine. Most of the people that followed him, which was in the hundreds, existed solely to take care of all the stuff he had. But he held that wealth very loosely. When his nephew was kidnapped, he took it all and put it on the line to do battle with these kings to save his nephew. And when he emerged victorious, he gave a tenth of it away to some guy named Melchizedek that we don't had never heard of before and won't hear about again till we get to Hebrews. Of course, there have been other wealthy people who've held so tightly to their wealth and to their possessions that they have thought, look how great I am and how wondrous the works of my hands. I am the greatest person alive. And God comes to Nebuchadnezzar and says, let me show you something. You're going to be as foolish as a donkey running in the wilderness, crazed out of your mind because you think you're the greatest. You need to learn who I am. I am the greatest. So this isn't about wealth. But this is about learning what is needful. And there are times when having that pinch, when having that trial fall upon us, there is within it a grace. Because we know in that moment that God has not left us so self-satisfied and so self-confident that we forget whose we are and how much we need him. And he teaches us afresh and anew to call out to him. Sometimes he attacks at the very attacks. We'll call it that. At the very point where we need him the most, where we have forgotten his power. Maybe this is what he was doing to Elijah. Elijah, you said there'd be no more rain, and there wasn't. But remember whose power's at work here, Elijah. It's not yours. It's mine. I'm the source of life. I'm the source of sustenance. I'm the source of all this. This is definitely what Jesus is getting at. All these people had just been miraculously fed in the wilderness, and they wanted to anoint Jesus as King and Messiah and Lord of all. And then they ask him for a sign. Give us more of this bread is really what they were saying. Feed us more. We want more food. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Jesus says, they ate that and they died. You need something more. You need the bread of life. You don't even know what you need. So consumed are you with what you want. Sometimes the Lord sends that trial. He sends that pinch right at the place where we need it most. that we would turn our eyes not to ourselves, but to Him, and learn anew what it means to depend on Him for everything. But in this, understand this prayer. Some want to spiritualize this right away. We want to get to the bread and talk about communion and the Lord's Supper, and we want to talk about Jesus is the bread of life, and we miss this glorious truth here that God, our Lord Jesus, tells us to pray to Him for our earthly needs. He sees, He knows, and every little care, every little concern, He sees, He knows, and He tells us, cry out to Me. Lord, I've lost my job. Provide. Lord, I've been stricken with this incredible illness, this horrible condition. Help me. I know, maybe I've told you this story before, but I know a man who is so deeply connected to the Lord. Like his prayer, I wish I could pray like him. I wish I knew the word like he knows the word, until he tells me that he was out of the ministry for months and months and months, at some point unable to even rise out of his bed. He couldn't do anything but consider Scripture. He couldn't do anything but pray. He learned a sweet dependence on the Lord. And I say, I don't want to learn it like that. But what a grace to know our God so cares for His people. He gives us everything we need. And maybe the way you need to learn that is to walk through the fire and see that you're not consumed. To walk through the darkness and know that He is your light. To walk even, not through the shadow of death, but through death itself, and see that He is eternal life. My family watches this show called Doctor Who. You don't have to watch it, but we like it. And as the show's conceit is, there's this ancient time lord who travels through time and space, and he took on the name The Doctor because he wanted to help people. And that's the whole premise of the show. He travels around and helps people. But one of the conceits of the show is he's been doing this for so long that the word doctor came from him. So everybody we call, you know, doctors that help people, you know, it's because of the doctor. It's funny fiction. How much more, though, as we consider the source of life, the bread of life, how much more, when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, do we not find presented before us our first and greatest need? Because we could possess all things. We could have the work of our hands only know success at all times and in every way. We could have mountains of wealth and possessions and be wondering how we could build barns to store them up. And the day will come where our soul is demanded of us. And all that will amount to nothing. Our first and greatest need, the whole point that Jesus is making in the Sermon on the Mount, is that we need Him, the source of all life, the source of all things. And to pray this prayer is to admit that we are nothing apart from Him. So how do you learn to depend on the Lord constantly for everything you need? You learn it by hearing Jesus and listening to what He says. And every day, praying like this. Give me today my daily bread. Pray with me. Almighty God, provide for us, we pray, that we might know Your blessing, that we might know Your glory, that we might know what it means to entrust ourselves to the God of the universe, against whom no weapon has been fashioned that can stand against him, against whom even the gates of hell cower in fear. Teach us what it means to so depend on him that we live as those who have as their characteristic, that we live as those who have as their very walk in life, that witness that we depend not on ourselves, but on our God, who gives his children everything they need. Teach us this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.